Well, you might think that we have, but Bruce and I did not confer with each other about, you know, what songs would go good with the lesson tonight, but his song does go well, in that I want to talk tonight about the subject of don't let your eyes adjust to the darkness. You know, when you're in the light and you walk into the darkness, a lot of times you can't see right away physically, and you have to kind of stand there for a little while and let your eyes adjust to the darkness. I used to, a long time ago, used to do some night hunting, and we were very careful about once we started hunting at night that we'd try to keep what we call our night vision, you know, and not get someplace where, you know, if you're coming back to the car or the truck or whatever, you know, not to turn on the lights real bright or anything. In fact, we even had it so the interior lights wouldn't come on and had the dash lights kind of turned down, and just so we'd maintain our night vision. Now, we'd walk around, we had light, but we didn't use a white light. We use a red light because red light helps you to see through the woods and the things that are in front, not just to see what's in front of you, but also to see past it. A white light, it's kind of interesting, and then you might say this is completely off the subject, but a white light, you know, when you're using a white light, all you can see is what the light's shining on. You can't see beyond it. And so it was really interesting to me that as I learned all of that, that with a red light, you could see what you needed to see in front of you, but you could also see beyond and deep and all the way in. But all that to say is that our eyes are interesting. You recognize that from, you know, times you're in biology and so forth, and you learn about your eyes and how it's your pupils open up when you get when you're in a dark place, so that allows more light to come in. And so we recognize that physically our eyes adjust to the darkness. Spiritually, we might say our eyes adjust to the darkness also. But the teaching from God's Word in regards to that phenomena is don't let your eyes adjust to the darkness. You don't want to become accustomed to the darkness. You want to abide in the light. You want to live in the light. And there's just so many passages that talk about this. In Luke chapter 11, for instance, in verses 34 through 36, Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good," or when your eye is healthy, "your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness." If you were blind, then you would be full of darkness. "Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." Obviously, Jesus is using the illustration of our eyes to teach us a spiritual lesson. That don't be unhealthy to the point to where the, you might say, air quotes, light that is in you is actually darkness. You know, here's the strange thing about this phenomena, spiritually anyway. You don't realize you're in the darkness until you see the light. And that's part of what Jesus is saying here. Be careful. Because if the light, so-called light that you have embraced, is actually darkness, then you're going to continue in that darkness. "Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then the whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when a bright shining lamp gives you light." And so he's saying, just be careful. How do you know that the light that you've embraced, and what he's talking about that is spiritually your enlightenment, I guess you might say. Is it truth? Is it myth? Is it imagination? Is it something that people have made up? Are they fables? Be careful. examine the so-called light that you have embraced and that you've allowed into your life, and make sure that it's the true light and no part darkness at all. In John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, when talking about Jesus, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So, just like in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What was there before there was light? Darkness. And there wasn't light until God said, "Let there be light." Well, what this passage is basically saying about Jesus is that men dwelt in darkness until Christ came. Men did not dwell, it was not possible that we could dwell in the fullness of the light of God spiritually until Christ came. And so the light shined into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Those who were of the darkness didn't want to have anything to do with the darkness. In chapter 3 of John, in verses 19 through 21, you remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and as he comes to a conclusion of that discussion, he says, "This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." You know, whether we're talking about literal darkness or figurative darkness, when we do things that are bad, when we do things that are sinful, when we do things that we know we shouldn't be doing, we usually don't broadcast that to everybody, do we? We keep that in the darkness. There's a lot of things that people do in the darkness because they don't want to be seen by others when they're doing it. So he's using those illustrations that how that very spiritually this is very true as well. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because they'd rather sin than practice truth. But if we know that we're practicing the truth to the glory of God, then we want people to know about that, don't we? Because not so that people recognize us, but so that people recognize God and the changes that he's made in our lives. In chapter 8 of John, in verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's an important point also. That life, as we know it, cannot exist without light. And spiritually, that's true also. So, God takes advantage of these things that we're familiar of in the physical world and says, you know, the principle is true also in the spiritual world. In John chapter 12, in verses 35 through 46, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." So, throughout the Gospel of John, light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Those who are of the truth come to the light. Notice here now that as we've progressed through John, he says to his disciples, "While you have the light, who is the light?" Well, "I'm the light. I'm the light of the world," he has said. "While you have the light, walk in the light, lest darkness overtake you." It's so easy to become accustomed to the darkness. If you paid attention to the presidential election that we just recently had, you would have noticed that one of the things that candidate Hillary said very often, and even after the election, she talked about our values. But she never identified what those values were. The values that she embraced, and that those many of those who supported her, perhaps some unknowingly, that the reason they supported her was because of her stand on abortion and her stand in regards to homosexuality, her stand in regards to things that are against the things that God teaches. She even made the statement very early in her campaign that Christians, it will become necessary for Christians to be re-educated. With what? See, the principles, the values of God's Word and God's light are diametrically opposed to the values of the world and worldliness. And if we're not careful, the darkness will overtake us. If we're not familiar with the light of truth, then we will be abiding in the darkness. We'll be abiding in the darkness of, well, this is what I think and this is what I feel, and, you know, as a group we believe this, and so as a group we believe it, it must be right. No. The broad way leads to destruction, and many there be that go by it. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. If we do not embrace the light of truth of God's Word, we will walk in darkness and we won't know where we're going. We won't know if there's life after death. We won't know if we believe there is life after death. We won't know what it's like. But God has given us the truth on all of those subjects. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Jesus had given them all manner of evidence, empirical evidence, that he was the Son of God and the words that he taught were from God, that they were the truth. And yet still, people didn't believe in him. Nevertheless, verse 42 continues, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that people believed in Jesus, but they believed in Jesus abiding in the darkness. They didn't want to confess him openly, because if they confessed him openly, then they'd be rejected by the rulers of their synagogue. They'd be rejected by family members. They'd be rejected by members of their community. So even though they listened to Jesus and believed that he believed him and believed in him, they didn't confess him openly. They believed in him while still crouching in the darkness. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, meaning not only in me, but in him who sent me. Also believes in him who sent me. If you believe in me, you also believe in my Father who sent me, and he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus knew all of these things. Jesus knew that there were those that he was talking to who believed in him, but they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. They were afraid that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. And to encourage them, Jesus said, look, if you believe in me and believe the words that I'm saying, you need to know that they're not just my words, they're my Father's words. And if you believe in me, you believe in the Father. And you can turn that around. If you believe in the Father, then you need to believe in me too. Do not abide in darkness. Here were people who believed in him, but they were abiding in darkness of the praise of men, the pride of life. You know, it comes into the pride of life aspect of category of sin. And Jesus is saying you can't have it both ways. So many times we try to have it both ways, don't we? We realize there's a political correctness. We realize that if we speak up and speak the truth on abortion or homosexuality or Islam or many of the other things that are being promoted today, we realize that we're going to be met with opposition and people are going to call us all kinds of names and false accusations are going to be made. If we believe in Him, do not abide in darkness as these rulers. You know, well, so many times we charge these rulers for saying, well, they believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. Well, do you believe in Jesus, but because of the politically correct, you'll not stand up for Him and speak the truth? We're no better than they are if that's the case. And if we can see where they were wrong, then we need to see where we're wrong. And we need to embrace the truth and speak up and let the light of God's Word shine on the darkness that we find in the world. In Isaiah chapter 50, or chapter 5 and verses 20 through 21, we read, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And we live in a culture that calls darkness light and light darkness. And we who are of the light need to speak up and let the light be seen, let the light be heard. Let those who are of the truth see the light so that they might come to the light. Because if we don't, they're not going to. I often find myself, you know, when I look at the condition of our culture today, I wonder if we're to blame. Are Christians to blame? Because we are afraid to let our light shine. I wonder if God has given us another chance to let our light shine, to call others, those who are in the darkness, out of the darkness and into the light that we enjoy. And if we fail to do that, if we fail to take up the charge of Christ, the mission of Christ, to seek and save the lost, to call those who are in darkness out of the light, if we fail to do that, or if we're afraid to do that, there's still darkness in us. And we need not be afraid of the darkness. We are of the light. And darkness has no power over light. We've talked about that before. When God said, "Let there be light," how hard was it for it to just let the light shine? It wasn't hard at all. Light always dispels darkness. Light has power over darkness. It's not, you know, why did it get dark tonight? It didn't get dark because darkness just overwhelmed us. The sun went over the horizon. The sun went away. The source of light went away. And when you take the light away, what do you have? You have darkness. And so I wonder, is the sinful condition of our culture a result of us taking the light away? Not speaking up, not standing up to be counted with Christ. And if that's the case, then we need to repent. Each and every one of us who said, "Yeah, I've been afraid to speak the truth. There's been times I've been afraid to speak up." But we need to repent. And we need to speak the truth in love. And we need to think about how to do that. And let His light be heard and be seen in the lives that we live. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 13 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let the light of truth shine in on those things of darkness and expose those things of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But the things that are exposed are made manifest, are made seen by the light. For whatsoever makes these things seen is light. You know, without the light, you don't know, well, what is true and what is false. You're just left to wonder and to speculate. But God's Word is true. It can be depended upon. And it shows us what's right and what's wrong. And it makes it that easy and that simple. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either truth or it's error. It's either righteousness or unrighteousness. And we can see that and we can know what we are doing and the choices that we are making. So, as we've just noticed there, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I wonder if we could make the statement that, you know, when we hear somebody espousing their politically correct error and sin, and that we should embrace it, and we are quiet, and we don't let God's word of truth be heard, are we having fellowship with the darkness? Are we allowing it to go forth without us opposing it in any way? In Colossians chapter 3, in the first 10 verses, we read, "If then you were raised with Christ," were you? Were you raised with Christ? Were you baptized for the remission of your sins, to have your sins washed away, to rise to walk with Him in newness of life? If that's the case, then He's talking to you. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, your sinful man died, and your life is hidden, that's your sins are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Here's some of them. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. There are those who are risen with Christ who are still practicing these things, and the wrath of God is going to come upon the children of disobedience. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. See, there's a vast difference between living in the darkness and living in the light. And we need to put off the things of darkness to let us be fully dwelling in the light. We wrestle against the rulers of darkness. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age." Have you embraced the battle? We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know, it seems that recently, within the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, you know, you have all of these superheroes that have suddenly come back. I mean, we used to be comic books, and now Marvel's coming to the big screen and the little screens and everything else, and people are wearing their Captain America t-shirts and, our superhero type people. What's Jesus saying here? What's the Word of God telling us? You're the superhero. You're the superhero. You need to realize that you're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, we see that, don't we? We see it in government. We see it at school. What teachers and administrations are teaching and embracing. What they're forbidding to come into the school. They're forbidding the Bible to come into the school and religious discussion to come into the school. But if it's sinful, oh yeah, we can talk about that because we have to keep an open mind, you see. Can't keep an open mind to what the Bible says, but we can keep an open mind to all manner of error and things that are wrong. We can keep an open mind to the false religion of Islam, but you can't keep an open mind to the Bible. That's what's being advanced by administrations and schools today, whether it be higher education in the colleges or high schools or elementary schools or middle schools. We need to be aware of these things. You need to be aware of what's going on in your children's schools, what they're being taught, that they not be led deeper and deeper into darkness. But more important than that, that we need to wrestle against. We need to stand up and be counted and let our light and let His light shine. We need to cast off the works of darkness. Romans chapter 13 and verses 12 through 13, we read, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." Where do people practice the revelry and the drunkenness and the lewdness and the lust? Yeah, that's in the darkness, isn't it? Those places are usually dark. They're not well lit. They're dark. We are to cast off the things of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let Christ be seen. You know, let Christ not just dwell within us, but let Him be seen outwardly in our character. We have nothing in common with the works of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says it this way, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has unrighteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Do light and darkness, do they get along with each other? No, whenever light comes on the scene, darkness vanishes. So we need to recognize that, what we are. And when we recognize darkness within us, we need to let the light of God's Word dispel that from our lives and be committed to doing His will. When we hear others espousing that which is religious error or moral sin, then we need to speak up and let God's Word of truth be heard so that people can dwell in the light. We are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "You are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We all dwelt in the darkness. We can choose to dwell in the darkness even though we've embraced the light. We can choose to say, "Well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, these are things that I just can't let go of, and nobody's perfect," and, you know, that's of the darkness, and we need to recognize that and dwell in the light. Cast off the works of darkness and dwell in His marvelous light. We are delivered from the power of darkness. Again, 1 Peter, I put down the wrong reference there. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son." It's a kingdom of light. First John chapter 1 and verses 4 through 10 tells us that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. Maybe one of the most challenging passages of Scripture that we have. We know that, yes, He is the light of the world, that He came to shine the light into the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. But what about you and what about me? These things we write to you, why? That your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What communion has light with darkness? They don't have any communion. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. So God does not have fellowship with darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with God and dwell in darkness, we're lying to ourselves. Because that will not work. God does not have fellowship with darkness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, in Him is no darkness at all. If it's our desire to have no darkness at all within us, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and His truth is not in us. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And so as we walk in the light, His light is going to continue to uncover the darkness that is within us. We need to recognize that darkness for what it is, and let His light dispel that darkness from our life, and walk in His word and practice His truth. So there's the question. Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Is that your desire? If you're saying that, well, I recognize, yeah, I'm in the light and I want to be in the light, but are there areas of darkness that you're just wanting to continue to embrace and to live in? Are you afraid to stand up for Christ? Are there television programs and movies and music that you watch and listen to that it's not of the light, it's of the darkness? Are we dispelling the darkness from our life so we might live in the light? Or are we saying, well, those things aren't really all that bad? Really? We recognize they're bad. Just how bad do they have to be to where we don't have to turn from them? Who are we fooling? Have we become accustomed to the darkness? Spiritually, have we adjusted ourselves to the darkness, accustomed to the darkness, to where we're calling darkness light? We need to be honest with ourselves and honest with God's Word and let His light of truth shine into the dark areas of our life that there might not be any darkness at all. That He might be honored and glorified. That we might lift Him up in the things that we do and the things that we say, the way that we live. And those who are of the truth, who are still dwelling in darkness, we'll see the light and we'll come to the light. We wrestle against principalities and powers and those who promote darkness. We need to recognize that and enjoin the fight for God's sake and for the sake of those that are lost, as well as for our own sake. Let's not be ashamed of Christ and His Word. But let's stand up and be counted. If you're ready tonight to live for Him, you've never obeyed Him in baptism, but you're ready to lay aside your life to live His life, to live to His glory, to be raised with Him, as we talked about tonight, And we'd encourage you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and a child of God, and you realize your life isn't what it should be, can we pray with you and for you? We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming.